From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series on the subject of prayer. As the Lord Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He gave them the timeless words of the Lord's Prayer. First, we've seen that the foremost element in prayer is the glory of God, as we pray, Hallowed be Thy name. Then, in the second petition, Thy kingdom come, we learn that this involves a prayer for salvation, the means of entering the kingdom. It includes seeking the Lord for sanctification, for soul winning, for the defeat of Satan, and for the return of Christ. Today, Dr. Cairns begins an exposition of the third petition, Thy will be done. Here we come to the matter of submitting to God's sovereign purpose. Dr. Cairns will commence the message shortly. First, we invite your attention to words from Faith's Checkbook, a devotional collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. Today's selection is called Deliverance from Dust and Chaff. The text is Amos chapter 9 and verse 9. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. The sifting process is going on still. Wherever we go, we are still being winnowed and sifted. In all countries, God's people are being tried, like as corn sifted in a sieve. Sometimes the devil holds the sieve and tosses us up and down at a great rate, with the earnest desire to get rid of us forever. Unbelief is not slow to agitate our heart and mind with its restless fears. The world lends a willing hand at the same process and shakes us to the right and to the left with great vigor. Worst of all, the church, so largely apostate as it is, comes in to give a more furious force to the sifting process. Well, well, let it go on. Thus is the chaff severed from the wheat. Thus is the wheat delivered from dust and chaff. And how great is the mercy which comes to us in the text. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All shall be preserved that is good, true, gracious. Not one of the least of believers shall be lost. Neither shall any believer lose anything worth calling a loss. We shall be so kept in the sifting that it shall be a real gain to us through Christ Jesus.
For the heavenly prize, for the Lord. ashamed with boldness pursue the approval of Christ in all that you do. Proclaim his great worth, be consumed in his love, pursue him alone until with him above. Rest toward the mark, straight for the goal, press onward and forward, both body and soul, for the
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns's book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life. Thank you.
Job chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. He sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. As we continue to consider the text of the Lord's Prayer together, we come to the latter part of verse 10 of Matthew chapter 6. The Lord's Prayer up to this point reads, as I believe and certainly hope we all would know, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And now the words we want to commence considering today, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There's a natural and beautiful progression of thought in these opening sentences and petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Thomas Manton, the great Puritan, said, In the first, we express our care for His glory. In the second, our desires for His kingdom. And now, we beg obedience to His will. One thing becomes very plain right at the very outset of considering this petition, and that is that the modern and unfortunately widely accepted idea that you may divorce entrance into eternal life, entrance into the kingdom of God, from any personal acceptance of and adherence to the will of God is altogether unscriptural. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And certainly God has joined together the reality of the faith that brings us into the kingdom with the fruit of faith that produces an honest obedience to the will of God. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The Lord Jesus is not teaching that we enter the kingdom by our works. any more than James was teaching that in his epistle. What he is teaching is that when through repentance and faith a person genuinely enters into life, there will be fruit for that faith, and that fruit, which proves the reality of the faith, is always seen in an acceptance of God's will and in an adherence to His known commandments. So, there is clearly an essential mark here of every subject of the kingdom of God's grace. That is a sincere desire for the will of God to be done, and that as perfectly as possible. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, that's a very simple question. It doesn't have a very simple or very brief answer. I always get worried when somebody, and I'm not mentioning any names like Rhett Dodson's or anybody, but they come and they say, I have a simple question. And usually the question can be asked in about 30 seconds, and it would take three volumes of theology to give the answer. Well, this is something of that kind of question. What does it mean, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven? This is certainly a beautiful petition. I think there's something in it that we respond to from the very depths of our being. There's something in us that acknowledges what is in this petition as the very epitome of the true Christian spirit. But having said all that, what does it mean? Well, now there are two ways of looking at it fundamentally, and each of them corresponds to one of the two great ideas in the expression, the will of God. When you speak of the will of God, you may mean by that God's decree or God's providential dealings. When that's the idea of the will of God, when you pray, thy will be done, then you're expressing submission. If, however, by the will of God, you mean God's commandments, then when you pray, thy will be done, you are expressing a desire for obedience by this petition. Now, these are immense subjects, and they have a vast importance for our happiness and for our usefulness. In my youthful folly, I would have joined them both together and set out on a large homiletical expedition through the Scriptures. But I have learned from many years' experience and people dropping over either asleep or half dead in the pew, that it's not good to try to do too much. So I'm going to split them up, and we're going to think this morning of God's will as His decree or His providence. And in the light of that, we're saying, thy will be done. The simple lesson here is that Christians should submit themselves to God's will as the wise and loving purpose of their Heavenly Father. Now, in the very nature of the case, the secret decree of God is inscrutable. God's providence is in many, many ways past understanding. It's not very often that I even partially disagree with my famous colleague and moderator, Dr. Paisley. But he loves to say when he's preaching, and many of you were greatly struck when he said this preaching here last year, that he not only reads the book of Scripture, but he reads the book of Providence. Now, there's a sense in which I totally agree with that. Obviously, we should try to understand God's dealings with us providentially in our lives. But when people came up afterwards and they were asking questions, and this is what sets this church off from many, many other churches, that when a preacher says something, people don't just nod their head and then go back to sleep. They do actually think about them, and then they come saying, now, these are the questions that this has raised in my mind. These are the ramifications. Tell me exactly, what does this mean? How does this work out? Of course, Dr. Paisley wasn't here to field the questions for his own statement, and they came to me. And I'm now making a public declaration of what I didn't like to say privately immediately after the sermon, and that is that while it sounds very good to say I read the Book of Providence, it is only the simplest ABCs of the Book of Providence that we are able to read. And it is one of the great follies of Christians, and if you want to study this through church history and historical theology, you will find it has led to all sorts of trouble, that Christians jump to premature conclusions as to the meaning of God's providence and His actions among us, and they do all sorts of crazy things. Beyond the simplest ABCs, God's providence is often past understanding. There are many, many, many things in which we must confess our ignorance. And the question, why, unless it is specifically answered by Scripture, often leaves us baffled. When people ask, why does God allow this? Why does God permit the other? Why am I enduring this? Why do the wicked prosper? Why? They're usually left baffled and without an explicit answer. I've often quoted to you the words of a cousin of mine who was a missionary to Japan, was doing great work among people who were in prisons, and people who were in various hospitals because of tuberculosis and things of that nature. And he himself contracted tuberculosis. And I always remember a letter he wrote to me from Japan. He said, when he was suffering greatly and his whole ministry seemed to be called in question, the wisdom of his entire actions called in question, wondering would there be any future at all for him in the work. He said, I have learned not to ask why, but what does the Lord have to say to me in all this? That was a very wise reaction, especially from a young man who was still in his 20s at that time. We must remember that we see only a little fragment of reality. The Lord sees it all. We are bound by time and by sense, while He is not. Faith will say that when we are able to view things from the perspective of eternity, then we will view them differently. We will evaluate them differently. Meanwhile, we may simply cry, Thy will be done. Submission to God's will as the wise and loving purpose of our Father in heaven. And especially when we don't understand what He is doing or why He's doing it.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.